All right. Well, welcome back to the second episode of the Jedi Fangirl Podcast. So I learned last time that, well, what I tried to do was kind of write out what I was going to say, since it's just me and I'm, you know, not really in a conversation with anybody, but I kind of felt like that was scripted. It didn't really come across as conversational. So I'm trying this time. I've got an outline of what I'm going to say instead of writing it all out, so you don't get as much of the scripted feel. Hopefully this will feel a little bit more like a conversation, be at least a little bit more interesting to listen to. I expect to hopefully maybe at some point have some guests on the podcast, so hopefully it's not always just me talking and you don't have to hear me monologuing the whole time. So, but that's what you get for right now. So today it's probably just me. We'll see later if I have some callers that have called in or left a message, you know, so we'll go through that potentially later on in the podcast. But for the introduction, I think what I'm going to do is start with these first several episodes, and my main topic is going to be to discuss each one of the Star Wars live action films. And I actually went through and rewatched all of them before episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, came out last month. So I've seen them all recently, so I kind of have a good idea, a good review of all of them. So they're kind of fresh in my mind. So, and my preference as far as an order to watch the movies in is to watch them starting with episode 1. I know that wasn't the order they came out. That's not machete order, which is also a good way to watch them. You'll have to Google that if you don't know what it is. So the reason I do that, back in 2015, I watched The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. I was at Star Wars Celebration 2015, and they did special showings of them. I don't know if they even do that anymore at the Star Wars Celebrations, but back in 2015 they did, and they showed the first few of them in 3D, which was pretty cool. But the order that they put them in was episode 1, 2, 3, chronological order, and I kind of liked that. I know it's not the order they came out in, but when I've gone back and rewatched them, I've kind of liked it, because it takes you back to the very beginning, some of the initial meetings of the characters, kind of walks you through the background. You see things happen in the order that they actually happened in the Star Wars galaxy. So I kind of like that. So that's kind of my reason for when I go back and do a rewatch. It's generally in chronological order, and I like that. So that's the order that I'm going to be going through them in on my podcast. So today we're going to start with The Phantom Menace, episode 1. So now, just kind of a disclaimer, if you are listening to my podcast and you have not watched the Star Wars movies, and I know that there are some of you, or at least some people that have, I have some friends that I know haven't seen them, and they might be just wanting to check my podcast out. Maybe they're wanting to watch them. So my recommendation is to wait until I get through at least episode 4, because my recommendation is for you to start with episode 4. And if you haven't watched them, you may not be familiar with all of the confusion over, you know, why is the first one episode 4 and why is that all of that? So let me explain that a little bit. If you are familiar with Star Wars, then you pretty much know this already. But so the original Star Wars movies that came out back in 1977, the first one originally just called Star Wars, later changed it to add the subtitle. The name of the episode was A New Hope. So that is actually episode 4. And the ones that came out in the 70s and 80s are episodes 4, 5, and 6. So that trilogy is Luke's story. That is the original Star Wars trilogy, the story of Luke Skywalker. And then when we did the, or when we got the newer movies, the next trilogy, starting in 1999, these were the precursors, the prequels is what they call the prequel trilogy, and that is those are numbered 1, 2, and 3, so those are episodes 1 through 3, and those are what became before the originals, so those are kind of what came, that's the Luke Skywalker, the origin, the whole thing, all nine episodes is known as the Skywalker Saga. So episodes 1, 2, and 3 are the Skywalker origin, and that is Anakin's story. And then our newest movies that have come out, also known as the sequel trilogy that started in 2015. This is what came after the originals. So what came after Luke's story, the Skywalker legacy. I think that'd be kind of a cool way to name it. Talk about, you know, the prequels are the Skywalker origin, and then we have the Skywalker story, and then we have the Skywalker legacy. But so the Skywalker legacy, the sequel trilogy, is episodes 7 through 9. So 4 through 6 came out first. That's the original story. 1 through 3 came out, the prequels, the origin story, and then episodes 7 through 9 was the sequel trilogy, the legacy story, what came after the original. So hopefully that explains it if you're not familiar with why they're numbered the way they are and the order that they came out in versus chronological order. That's what that's all about. So again, if you have not watched the Star Wars movies, my recommendation is to wait as I go through the review or the discussion of each one of these movies. Wait until after I get to episode 4, because I think you should watch them in the original order that they did come out, and episode 4 was first. So that's my recommendation. I'll also try not spoiling the, if you are doing that and you happen to go and listen to my discussion about episode 4, I'll try to not spoil the prequels at that point, since I know that you won't have watched them yet if you're going by my recommendation. So anyway, I hope to do this on a weekly basis. This is kind of week 1, I guess. I'm starting with episode 1. So, and my introduction episode came out last Friday. So I'm hoping to put this one out on Friday as well. So hopefully if you're listening to this, it's Friday. So happy Friday. But that's kind of where we're going to go from here. That's my introduction for today. I'm going to go through and do a discussion of Phantom Menace. And then also at the end, I'll have a little bit of the latest Star Wars news just to keep us current on what's going on. So that's the plan. Let's go ahead and get started. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Today we're going to be talking about The Phantom Menace, episode 1 of the Skywalker Saga. Also the first episode of the prequel trilogy. The very first movie that we have experienced so far chronologically in the Star Wars galaxy. I don't want to call this a movie review exactly, more like discussion. I'm not really going into a movie review per se. I feel more like I just kind of want to talk about it and my thoughts on it, and, you know, maybe what some other people think about it. Get into some of the key points rather than actually consider it a movie review so much. But again, like I said, this is the first Star Wars movie chronologically, so this is why we're starting with this one. It was written and directed by George Lucas, along with the other episodes in the prequel trilogy, and also along with the original trilogy, of course, since he is the maker of Star Wars. Phantom Menace is often hated upon. People in general, a lot of people do not like the prequel trilogy, which I disagree with. I know it has its issues. Some of the story, some of the dialogue, not really the story as much as the dialogue, maybe the acting to some extent, but again, I feel like that can also be contributed to the dialogue. But I love the story. I love the prequel trilogy because for me, these were the first original Star Wars movies that I got to see in the movie theater. I did go see, I think, some of the original trilogy when it was released as a special edition back before the prequels came out, but they'd been out for a while. I'd already seen them, so I wasn't seeing them for the first time in the theater like I did the prequel trilogy. The first one came out in 1999, so I was 19. I went to not, I don't think I went to, I probably did go to some midnight showings, but what I definitely remember is actually going to buy tickets to some of the prequel trilogy and standing in line on the day that the tickets came out and standing in line at the movie theater in a big line to get the tickets for the movie. And those days obviously are over since now we hear about a big movie coming out, and when tickets are released, we jump online to grab our tickets and potentially crash the movie sites like Fandango and stuff like that. But so I remember when these movies came out in the theater. And now the prequel trilogy is hated on by a lot of people. A lot of people, there are so-called Star Wars fans out there who will say that they're only into the original trilogy, that the prequels suck and that the sequel trilogy sucks, or one or the other. I am not one of those people. I actually enjoy all of the Star Wars movies that I've seen. Definitely some more of others. Definitely have a very big fondness for the original trilogy. But I also have a fondness for the sequel trilogy. I mean, I have a fondness for the prequel and the sequel trilogy for different reasons. So some people also look at the prequel trilogy. Some of the things that people don't like about it. Number one, right up there, Jar Jar Binks. This character that George Lucas created and brought to life in The Phantom Menace. His biggest roles are in The Phantom Menace, although he is in the rest of the prequel as well, a little bit, but very, very much toned down. You don't see him as much, but he is very present in The Phantom Menace. And I agree, he's pretty much an annoying character. Some people like him, but he's pretty annoying. And George Lucas, I think, thought he was going to be funny and people would enjoy it, and it just didn't turn out that way so much. So that's one reason that people don't like it. What I don't think is fair is all the actor that has played him has gone through, just he's gotten some hate because of it. But now I appreciate that he's starting to come back and he is getting more involved in the Star Wars universe again, because he's gotten more of a welcome reception, which I'm glad that our Star Wars fandom has changed in that respect. Also, Jake Lloyd, who played Anakin Skywalker, our young Anakin Skywalker, had a lot of issues resulting from being in this movie, which is really sad. He actually, I think he was maybe 10 years old when he was in the movie, and he retired from acting in 2001, a couple of years after the movie came out, just because of bullying. And I think I've heard that he ended up destroying all of his Star Wars memorabilia, which is very sad. I'm sure that this has really tainted what he thinks of Star Wars. And obviously anybody that's acted in the Star Wars universe, played a big role, has a different perspective than we do as just fans. But it's sad that it seems like he at some point was unable to enjoy this franchise that we, a lot of us, just love so much and bring so much to our lives. And he's unable to enjoy it because of bullying, which is really, really sad. But hopefully, it's been 20 years now since this movie came out. So hopefully people have gotten past that and some of these people have moved on with their lives. But that's just some of the outcome of, the Star Wars fandom can be that way. So, again, this isn't one of my favorite episodes, but I can definitely see good things about it. It's not even my favorite. Definitely, it's not my favorite episode of the prequel trilogy. It's actually maybe my least favorite episode of the prequel trilogy, but I still appreciate it. Still include it in a rewatch when I do a rewatch of the entire Skywalker saga. So there's a reason it's there. I feel like it serves a purpose and it's a big part of the story. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the story of Anakin Skywalker. It's literally the beginning of the Skywalker saga. It's the beginning of Anakin and Padme's story. It's the beginning of Anakin and Obi-Wan's story. The original trilogy was about Luke and Leia. The story is about Luke and Leia. That's how it started out. And this movie shows you the origin, like what came before, like how did it all start? And that's something that I can really appreciate about both the prequel trilogy and about Phantom Menace. Like I mentioned in the introduction, one of my best memories of The Phantom Menace is watching it at Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim in 2015. They did special showings of all of the movies. They showed them in chronological order. They showed The Phantom Menace in 3D. So I was there watching it with fans, people that love Star Wars, people that know what's going on, that have seen this movie so many times and love the characters and just are excited about it and they're excited to be there. And it was awesome. It was probably one of my best experiences watching a Star Wars movie ever. And as you watch the movie, you see things like certain characters meeting for the first time. Characters that have epic stories later on in the saga, like Anakin and Obi-Wan. The first time that they meet, you see it and you're watching it and everybody knows, you know, they know that this meeting is the beginning of this relationship that's going to be such a big, like, a big epic drama. It's going to be, you know, they're best friends, they're brothers, and then they end up fighting each other. And it's just cool to know all that happens and see the very, very beginning of that. And people cheered. There was definitely some big audience reactions when watching this at that showing. Another one is the beginning of the C-3PO and R2-D2 relationship. I mean, they're still in the sequel trilogy. They are there all the way till the end, at the very end. And you see the beginning of that relationship in The Phantom Menace. And it's just cool. People were cheering. It's just a neat thing to see. And it's definitely one of the things that I appreciate about The Phantom Menace. So, something else, I think there's kind of a mixed response to this in the movie, but so that pod racing scene takes up a little bit of a chunk of the movie there. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like, why was this even included? This is just kind of strange and it doesn't really bring anything to the story, but it's just fun. You still have to remember that ultimately the Star Wars movies were... they're kids' movies. They're for kids to enjoy. Yes, we love them. Adults obviously enjoy them too. But yes, to some extent, they are kids' movies. And the pod racing is fun to watch. Maybe they just threw it in there for the purpose of toys and things like that. But I think also I like to think that something like that, and even Jar Jar as well, was included for the kids. I mean, adults talk and argue all day long about Star Wars and what's wrong with it and, you know, your opinion versus my opinion. But still, these are kids' movies and let kids enjoy them. I mean, you know, that's who they were created for to some extent. So some other things that I like about The Phantom Menace. Everybody loves Darth Maul. He's this new villain that was created. He's a Sith, obviously. He just looks cool. Kids like him because he looks cool. He can do all kinds of crazy things. And he's just a really cool Sith. And he's kind of underused in the movie. I mean, when all of the advertising came out for Phantom Menace, you see Darth Maul and everybody, you know, knew that there's this new villain. But he's honestly not in the movie as much as you would like him to be. He is kind of underused. He doesn't say a whole lot. He only really says a few words in the whole movie. But the good thing about that is that if you are only into the Star Wars movies, the Skywalker saga, then you may not have watched the TV shows that have come out about the Star Wars universe. One of them is Clone Wars. Clone Wars is a 6-season TV series. It's on Disney Plus. You can go watch it. It is canon, which means that it is considered truthful and lines up with the movies, and everything that happened is considered true and jives with what's in the movies. Clone Wars is about what happened. It's a cartoon, so it's a little bit different. It's animated. Well, it's animated. People don't really use the word cartoon anymore, but it takes place between episode 2 and 3. So obviously it's about the Clone Wars. It's about what happens after all of those clones were built and all of the war that was going on. And it's really interesting to see. And at some point during that series, Darth Maul comes back. I mean, I'm not really going to tell you what happens in case you haven't watched it, but he's in there and you kind of get to see a little bit more of him, which is nice because he's such a great villain. And such an interesting character. And in a little bit more recent series is the Star Wars Rebels series. And both of these series I've seen some episodes of, but I haven't watched all of them. I'm a little bit more familiar with Clone Wars. I'm still kind of trying to work my way through watching all of the Clone Wars episodes, but I'm not there yet, and I've only watched a couple episodes of Rebels, but I do know that Darth Maul is in episodes of Rebels as well, and I've actually seen one of those episodes, and his story is just, it's kind of interesting to see what has happened with him. So if you have watched The Phantom Menace and you like it and you're a fan of Darth Maul and you want to see more of him and you haven't watched the TV series, I encourage you to go out to Disney Plus and check out Clone Wars and Rebels. They're both out there. So another good thing that I really like about The Phantom Menace is the character of Qui-Gon Jinn. He is the Jedi Master of Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is his Padawan in this movie, and you get to see what that relationship is like. And it's interesting to see Obi-Wan as a Padawan. And also Qui-Gon Jinn is the one that discovers Anakin. I mean, you know, you've seen the movie or you haven't seen the movie, but if you've seen the movie, you know the story. He finds him on Tatooine, kind of sees something in him, and realizes that he thinks he would make a good Jedi, like maybe the ultimate Jedi, the chosen one, so to speak. And so he brings him in, and, you know, ultimately Anakin becomes Obi-Wan's Padawan. So Obi-Wan is a very interesting character, and it's really good to see more of his story. I'd actually like to see more of him, and I think that we're going to get that because there's been a TV series for Disney Plus announced about Obi-Wan. So we'll be seeing more of him, and thankfully they've gotten Ewan McGregor to play him again, to come back. So it should be really good. I'm very curious to see more of his story. So, you know, this movie just is the beginning of a lot of character meetings. You know, you get to see Obi-Wan as a Padawan. You get to see how Anakin was discovered. I put quote unquote discovered. You get to see Anakin meet Padme, who also plays a big part in the story. There's just a lot there. A little bit more about Qui-Gon. There's a book that has been released not too long ago. It's one of the newer Star Wars novels, one of the books that are now also considered canon, which means it's, you know, it's true. It goes with the storyline. And there's a book called Master and Apprentice. It is by Claudia Gray. She also wrote some other Star Wars canon novels, Lost Stars, Bloodline, and Leia, Princess of Alderaan. And I've actually read all of those, but I have not yet read Master and Apprentice, but I would like to. It is on my list. And it is about the relationship between Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And I think it takes place before The Phantom Menace. So it should be an interesting read. I'd encourage you. It's probably worth going to check out. Obviously, I can't say for sure since I haven't read it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things. But I definitely can recommend Claudia Gray's other Star Wars canon novels. I've read all of them. Lost Stars is very interesting. It's a story. It's kind of a neat story because it's about these two people, this guy and girl, and their relationship. And the coolest thing about it is that it takes place over the entire original trilogy. So you're following along with their story, but in the background, you've got all of these things that happened that were a part of the original trilogy. So it's a very interesting read. The other two novels that she has as a part of the Star Wars canon books are Bloodline and Leia, Princess of Alderaan. And both of those are really good, especially if you are a fan of Princess Leia. I read both of them. Bloodline takes place prior to the sequel trilogy, so between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy. It is kind of a story of some things, you know, what was going on with Leia. She was a part of the Republic, the New Republic. So kind of a part of what she was doing and what happened. And it's just a really interesting read to see kind of lead into the sequel trilogy. And then Leia, Princess of Alderaan is also good as well. I really enjoyed that one. It is kind of an account of Leia as a teenager. So a little bit of a lead up to episode 4, to A New Hope. Kind of what happened to put Leia in that place where she was that, you know, member of the Galactic Senate on a diplomatic mission that happens in episode 4. So it's really interesting. You get to see, one cool thing about that book is that you get to see more of her life with the Organas. And it's really cool to see her relationship with her adoptive parents and see what that was like. So again, I'd recommend all of them. They're all really, really great. So those are kind of my thoughts on The Phantom Menace. It may not be, as far as movie-wise, definitely not one of the best movies of the saga, but there's a lot of cool things about it. It's a great story, shows the beginnings of some really cool relationships between characters, and I think that's what's good about it. It's just fun to watch. It's a good beginning, a good place to start when you want to dive back into the Star Wars galaxy and see all of these characters again. And it's usually the first one that I pop in when I start that marathon. So now, I did have a friend of mine call in that had some comments on The Phantom Menace. This is Chris. So let's see what Chris has to say.
Okay, let's try this again. So at the time that Phantom Menace came out, all we'd really had before that was new content went all the way back to Droids and Battle for Endor back in the 80s. We had the Star Wars special editions, and those were pretty okay. But there were still some mistakes made in there. They went a little more for more instead of subtle. As far as Phantom Menace, the best thing about Phantom Menace is the lightsaber battle at the end, where for the first time ever on screen, you were getting to see Jedi in their prime, trained, you know, lethal killers against each other, as opposed to an older man, and a novice. That was the best thing, in my opinion, about the Phantom Menace.
All right. Well, those were some really good thoughts. I know I brought up Darth Maul earlier a little bit, but yeah, that battle between the Jedi, you're really right about that. And I thought that was an interesting point, that the Jedi that we had seen up until this point in the original trilogy, we just got, you know, we got Darth Vader, like Chris said, an older guy. At that point, we got Obi-Wan, also older. And then we got Luke, who was just barely trained, and the Emperor. So those are really the only Jedi and only Sith that we got to see fight in the original trilogy. So it really was cool in Phantom Menace to have this first time see some really trained, highly trained Jedi and Sith fight. So that was a really cool thing about the Phantom Menace as well. So thanks for that, Chris. I hope that, you know, in the future, some of the rest of you call in and give me your comments as well. Those are my thoughts. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm going to get back here in a second. In this next segment here, we're going to talk about some current Star Wars news. But I'd also like to let you know that next week on the next podcast, I'm going to be talking about Attack of the Clones. So episode 2, that's what we're going to discuss next time. And I'd really like to invite you, if you would like to contribute, you can go to the page for the podcast, which is anchor.fm/Jedi-fangirl. If you go to that page, there should be a button there that says message. So if you go and you click on that button, you can record your thoughts on Attack of the Clones, or if you have anything else that you'd like to say about the podcast, I'd appreciate feedback, but you can send me a voice message that way, and I would love that. Would like to feature some people on the podcast so you're not just listening to my voice all the time. Also, if you want to send back any other kind of feedback, if you want to write it out, I can include some thoughts that way, but you can email me at Cheryl, Sheryl, @JediFangirl.com. So I'd encourage you to go ahead and send me your thoughts and do that. And in here in just a second, we're going to talk about some current Star Wars news. So I hope you've enjoyed this discussion of The Phantom Menace today. Thanks for listening. Okay, so before we close out today's podcast, I want to go through some of the current Star Wars news that is circulating out there. I would be remiss in not mentioning the Golden Globes that happened on Sunday. There's a couple of Star Wars stars, celebs, namely Adam Driver and Laura Dern, are Kylo Ren and Admiral Holdo that were in a movie called Marriage Story on Netflix that was highly anticipated, also featured Scarlett Johansson. I have watched it. It was good. I didn't think it was great, but that's just my personal opinion. Obviously, it won some Golden Globe Awards, so some people think it's pretty good. It was interesting. It was an interesting movie. It was an interesting story to see. I encourage you, if you've got Netflix, go ahead, go out, watch it yourself. Again, it's called Marriage Story. It's a drama. It's not really a happy movie, but definitely check it out if you're into that. But it had Laura Dern was a supporting actress in the movie, and she won a Golden Globe for her role as supporting actress in Marriage Story. And then also Adam Driver was nominated for actor in a drama movie for a Golden Globe, but he did not win, unfortunately. He actually lost to Joaquin Phoenix for the Joker movie, which I've also recently seen, and I actually did really like a lot. I thought Joker was pretty good, so, but there you go. So that's just some kind of news, some Star Wars celebs out there winning awards for other things, but I thought that was interesting, worth mentioning. Another bit of Star Wars news, kind of one of the actors from the prequel trilogy, like we were talking today, Phantom Menace, that we haven't really seen do too many Star Wars things in a while, but Ewan McGregor. We recently found out that he's going to be in the Disney Plus series about Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now he is actually coming to the Ace Comic-Con in Boston in March, their Northeast Comic-Con. Now, if you're not familiar with Ace Comic-Con, I will tell you a little bit about them. I've been to a couple of their Comic-Cons. They don't have a set place or time of the year that they do them. They have done several already, but they've been in different places. They've been in Seattle, they've been in Chicago, they've been in Phoenix. They can kind of pop up anywhere. You don't really know when the next one's going to be until they announce it and they start announcing the guests for it. Kind of the focus of ACE is more of a celeb-centric focus. It gives you a lot of opportunities for photo ops, autographs with the celebs that they get as their guests. And they get some really, really good ones. So I've actually met several of the Marvel movie, the MCU movie stars at ACE conventions. I went to one in Seattle, and I've been to one in Chicago, and I had the best time. I really had a great time. They do the convention well. Yes, it can be pricey. If you don't have the money for something like this, then, I mean, I'm sorry, it's sad, but it is, people are willing to pay. There is a demand for conventions like this and photo ops and meeting celebrities, so if you do have the money, I definitely highly recommend them. They are a great convention and they are run very well. They have a kind of a fan forum group on Facebook in addition to, you know, their own Ace Comic-Con social media. But this fan forum group on Facebook, the people behind the Ace Comic-Con, Steven and Garib Sheamus, I think is how you pronounce their last name, but they are all actually active in the group and will come on there and answer questions and tell you details. And just, guys, the people that run the Ace Comic-Con are just top-notch. The cons are very organized. They usually just go very well, and they are very much about putting together a quality convention, both a great experience for those attending as well as the celebs that are there. And they get, like I said, they get some really big celebs. So anyway, they are having a convention in March. It's in Boston. And they've gotten only three guests announced so far. Two of them are Marvel actors, but then the most recent one they announced was Ewan McGregor, which is awesome because I don't think he's ever done a Comic-Con as far as one where, you know, fans can go and get a photo op or get an autograph. And so this is just really cool news for people that go to Ace and people that are Star Wars fans. So kind of a big deal. Also in the Facebook group that I mentioned for Ace Comic-Con, like I said, the people that run the convention are in there posting things. And one thing that was mentioned is that, so for the photo ops and autographs for Ewan have already sold out. He's only there for one day on Saturday of the convention, and he's all completely sold out. But they have said that they have reserved some times for dual photo ops and group photo ops, which what that means is that there's probably going to be photo ops with him, with Ewan, along with some other celebs. And what would make the most sense? He's kind of known probably the most for being Obi-Wan in Star Wars. And what would make the most sense is for them to have other Star Wars people there. People, you know, specifically from the prequel trilogy. That would make the most sense. So if you think about it, the one that makes the absolute most sense to me is for it to be, for them to get Hayden Christensen. And I already know that Hayden does conventions. He's been at Star Wars Celebration a couple times. I think he's done some other Comic-Cons as well. So it totally makes sense. So I personally am really hoping that they get Hayden because I would absolutely love to do a dual photo op with Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen. I've met Hayden once before, but I just love the idea of being able to get a photo with Anakin and Obi-Wan. Like, as a fan of the prequels, that would be so awesome to me. So I'm kind of hoping they announce him. There's some other possibilities, you never know, but kind of just anxiously waiting to see who they get. So that's some kind of big news that's happening. And then something else that was kind of rumored, I mean, this is kind of news, but it's also not confirmed, it's just kind of rumors. So some of the people that are out there posting like leaks that they hear, info that they hear, but it's nothing that's official, have said that there is another trilogy coming. The Skywalker saga is over. So our episode 1 through episode 9 supposedly is over. I mean, who knows? You know, money talks, and they could potentially do, you know, an episode 10 through 12. Who knows? But from what we hear, it's over. But there are definitely more Star Wars movies coming. And one thing that's been said as a possibility, as a rumor, is that this next trilogy, there's another trilogy coming, even if it's not an episode, a part of the Skywalker saga, but that this next trilogy could possibly be about what they call the High Republic era. And apparently what that means is it takes place long before we've ever heard of the Death Star or the Empire. So we'll get to know more about the Sith and maybe find out how that originated or, you know, but I think that would be interesting to see. You know, I don't really know how long the Jedi and the Sith have really been around. So it'd kind of be interesting to hear some more of the origins of the Star Wars universe, this galaxy, a long time ago. I mean, how long ago? But it'd be really interesting, I think, to find out more about that. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Something else that has been confirmed, this was announced earlier this week or end of the weekend, was about the Clone Wars. So I mentioned Clone Wars earlier in the podcast. It's an animated series. It's available on Disney Plus if you want to go out and watch it. Takes place between episodes 2 and 3. Is obviously about the Clone Wars. And there are 6 seasons, and there is now a season 7 coming. So we've known about that for a little while, but now it was announced the season 7 is officially premiering on Disney Plus on February 17th. So, not too long. We've got about a month and, you know, a month and a few days, and we can get some more Clone Wars. So I really need to catch up. I need to watch all the episodes that are currently out there so that I can, you know, start watching this new season and get excited about it too. But so that's kind of my news for this week. I think that's mostly all I've got right now. Just to kind of go back over what I'm doing So next week is going to be about Attack of the Clones. I'm going to go through one episode a week. I'm going to talk about the episodes, the movies in chronological order. What I didn't mention, I don't think, is that I'm also going to include the movies Solo, A Star Wars Story, and Rogue One as well. And both of those take place between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy. So between episode 3 and episode 4. So that's when I'm going to go through those. So hopefully you've seen those if you're tuning in and listening, because to me, that's when they are in there chronologically. And that's how I like to watch it, because I like to see the background story and then see what happens to some of the characters. So I think that that'll be fun. They're very interesting to include. Loved. I know some people didn't, but I actually really liked Solo. I liked getting to see the background and some more story there. So I love finding out more about these characters. It's just fascinating to me. So again, next week is Attack of the Clones. If you are interested in weighing in and giving me your thoughts on Attack of the Clones, please, please, please go to my Anchor page and click on that message button. Anchor is who sponsors my podcast, and their platform is what I use for podcasting. So it's anchor.fm/Jedi and then a hyphen and then fangirl, all one word. So if you go to that page, click on message, leave me your thoughts, tell me what you think of Attack of the Clones. Please, please, no hate. If I get a message like that, honestly, I'm just not really about that. I like all of these movies, and you can tell me what you didn't like, but if you just flat out hated it and you go into a rant about that, I'm probably not going to feature you. So just to let you know. So go ahead and do that for me. And as always, please visit my website. I have JediFangirl.com. I've got a great blog up there. I try to post on it as much as I can. I'm trying to post on it more. And I'm also on all social media as Jedi Fangirl. So go follow me on Twitter, Facebook, all of that. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. I feel like this episode came out kind of long, but I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I hope I didn't drone on too much and bore you with my monologue, but thanks for listening. If you made it all the way through, I hope you'll tune in again next week. And of course, may the Force be with you.